Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet of peoples and robots and machines and light bulbs. Good morning to the rocket ships and the jet airplanes. Good morning to the supermarkets and the satellite TV. Good morning to the fast food outlet. Good morning to Freddy's. I really like your custard. Good morning, planet Earth. It is Friday, April the 30th, 2021. Right around 8:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time in the great state of Utah, Bo Blimpdoc. Yes, indeed, if you are listening to this on shortwave radio, it might be Saturday or Sunday night, it might be 5950 kilohertz, it might be out of WRMI in Miami, Okeechobee, from which the swamp shall arise. If you are listening on shortwave radio, you can get to the notes for this podcast by going to dfgtc.org/show notes. Pick the right date for the right show, and you'll find the right notes, you know what I'm saying? But who knows when this podcast will broadcast? As long as there's radio, right? As long as there's satellite TV, as long as there's a microwavable lasagna, as long as you have what you need to eat and to sleep, as long as you have electricity and you can mine your Bitcoin, yes, as long as the comforts of life are still there, as long as you have not been eaten by a grizzly bear, as long as you are able to defend yourself with a knife or a shiv, as long as you are able to learn how to love and learn how to give, we're all still here, right? It's Friday. We are on the planet Earth. It is a spinning orb. Maybe, right? Or maybe it's a big paper plate. Or maybe it's a simulation inside of an alien game system sitting in a landfill at the end of the world. That's right. We could all be inside of some game system, some alien Xbox. I've talked to you about this before. Some alien Xbox 360 kind of quantum computer game system sitting in a landfill at the edge of the universe as the universe approaches heat death. You could be there too with me. Who knows? It's Friday. But that sounds better than monkey herpes dystopia, or race war BLM Antifa commie dystopia, or Lobster Man took the vaccine. Lobster Man took the vaccine. Now he gets to eat for free at Red Lobster. Welcome to PSYOP America. Yes, indeed, in PSYOP America, every day is a military psychological warfare operation, and you get to find out new things about stuff you didn't even maybe not know. It doesn't matter if it's true or not, might be true, might be false. The key thing, it's emphasized. It's focused. You will know whatever they want you to know. You will feel what they want you to feel in statistical terms. Yes, some of you will reject the PSYOP just like me, but they'll make your life uncomfortable. And yeah, most of you will buy into the monkey herpes and the race war and the Antifa commie crap. Most of you will believe the lies, just like you did after 9/11. That was a PSYOP too, probably a warm-up. Here's the first rule of psychological operations, grifting, conning, and lying at a large scale. And if you know this rule, you can fool a lot of people. If you go against this rule, as I often do, you might be honest, but you'll die poor. Here's the first rule. Tell people what they want to hear. Tell people what they want to hear. If they want to hear that by passing a Green New Deal, if we pass a Green New Deal, the penguins will be better. If we pass a Green New Deal, Bigfoot will love us like never before. He'll become our forest whore. First rule of grifting, conning, military psychological warfare operations, the first rule is understand what people want to hear. If they want to hear that a Green New Deal will fix everything, give them that. If they want to hear that a magical wall at the Mexican border will fix everything, give them that. If they want to hear that some horrible war in the Middle East that will dustify depleted uranium across the landscape and poison children for decades, if they want to hear that's a battle for freedom, give them that. If you want to imprison Americans in a police state for decades, tell them it's a Patriot Act. If you want people to carry around a dog collar, give them a smart device bonus, ironically named. First rule is tell people what they want to hear. And if you want to fail as a podcaster or a comedian, an essayist or a writer, tell people the truth. That's reality. And I'm sorry for being so blunt. And this is not bitter food, bitter grapes, sourpuss crap. I don't care how many people listen. I would rather have 20 people listen to my podcast that have some serious grasp on reality, even if most of them disagree with me, than to have thousands of people that just listen and believe whatever the heck I say. That's it. If you're on there, out there on shortwave or on a podcast and thinking to yourself, what's Dan doing? I'm trying to express to you my truth. I could be wrong. I would prefer that you do something for me and for yourself. Listen to what I'm saying. Use your brain. Do your own research. If you don't have, well, I was about to say if you don't have a library card, but I'm not even sure the libraries are open any longer. You need to start building your own libraries, folks. You need to start collecting real books. If you think your little Kindle device is going to keep telling you some kind of truth, you are some kind of wrong. That's reality. If you're listening on shortwave and you want to complain to me, my email address is me@imsully.com. If you want to look at some stuff I'm involved in other than the podcasting, you can go to igluluau.com. If you'd like to download all my podcasts or listen to them online, I do have a YouTube channel that will probably be deleted at some point. But you can go to imsully.com, or if you don't want to go to imsully.com, you can go to dfgtc.org/mp3, and every one of my podcasts going back to 2013 is there. Am I telling you what you want to hear? On Friday, April the 30th, 2021. First topic. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this first topic. And before I go into it, I'm going to drink a little coffee. Cafe. Cafe Olay. I got it. Strimulax. Strimulax right down the street. Convenient for every occasion. Strimulax, one of the best restaurants in Utah. At Strimulax, you can buy that root they talk about, that root that supposedly the Ute Indians ate, that they could just live off of this one root, R-O-O-T. You get it at Strimulax, you get it fried. You also get to eat whatever composure, composture, compost, kombucha they put together in their freaky deaky when they mix their Glinkus grease back out back and it ferments and you drink it. And you drink it not because you're happy and not because you're sad, but because you're just existentially bored. You're just bored with this crap. It really is crap. First topic. It's just too easy to be homeless. Some dude on social media today posted this really dumb tweet, and it was one of those mornings where I wish Jack would just, you know, Twitter would just ban me forever, because every time I have to see something vile like this, and I say vile because it is vile if you know anything about the topic to say something like this. This dude basically said it was too easy to be homeless, and then he pulls this ridiculous quote from Benjamin Franklin about the poor, assuming that poor equals homeless. Well, to the idiot out there, if you're listening, step A, poor does not equal homeless. There are a lot of poor people that live in homes. Are you listening, dumbass? That's step A. Lots and lots and lots of poor people have shelter. Here's number B, though, or I'll go the second point. Let's just go 1, 2, 3, or 5 or 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number one, okay? Poor people live in homes. Many poor people have homes. Number two, buddy, if you actually look at how the housing market functions, there is an incredible amount of corporate welfare that enables the housing market, that enables the banks to give you a giant HELOC, that enables all that free money, quote unquote, that enables your little magical house flipping paradise. Because likely you're one of those folks who will take the money from the Fed but complain about the homeless people. You'll take the Fed money, you'll take the Fed loan, you'll get your nice Fannie Freddie Mac house. You'll take the garage out back with the broken foundation and the mold. You'll turn it into a shack. You'll put it on the market for $500,000. And then you'll complain about the homeless people. This is a conversation I had in Seattle a lot. And people there are just too darn stupid. It's easy to be homeless. You know what, buddy? When I got off the train in 2014 in Indianapolis, so to speak, it was too easy for me to get a zero interest rate car loan. Buddy, that was too easy. It took about 5 minutes and a letter from my employer that I could have forged myself. Oh, but they'll call the number, Dan. Well, gee, I wonder if there are these things called friends. Yeah. It's too easy to be homeless. It's too easy to take advantage of this bogus Fed economy. It is too easy to get credit cards. It is too easy for bad financial institutions to function in terrible ways. It is too easy for silver and gold to be manipulated. It is too easy for us to go to war and bomb countries. There are lots of things, buddy, that are easy. Being without shelter is not one of them. And clearly I'm angry here, so let's ignore the numbered bullet points and let's just keep going. There are three things you need. And you need to listen to this, because if you don't listen to this, in the near future, you will end up dead. Okay? If you don't know the difference between needs and wants, you will end up dead. There are three things you need. You need food. And I should say you need healthy, nutritious food, but that used to be given. It's not really given any longer. You need healthy, nutritious food. You need clean water. I didn't just say water. There's lots of polluted water in the world right now. You need clean water and you need shelter, all right? If we treated food and water the way we treat shelter in this country, we would have warehouses that go to the moon filled with food and water, and we would have people starving and dying of dehydration in the streets. That's what would happen if we had a Fannie and a Freddie for food and water. But here's a little hint, folks. That dark, ugly world they want you to buy into, that crapola existence they want you to believe in, make no mistake, they'll treat your food and your water exactly the way they treat your flippable property. You'll pay a tax on it, definitely. It will have a permit. It will be regulated. I promise you, whatever bizarro gimmick the government applies to your physical property, if we treat food and water the same way we treat shelter, you're going to have some hungry days ahead in the cities, folks. Food, water, shelter, you need those things. Those are not things that are really optional. You need them. When Benjamin Franklin was talking about poverty, he was talking about just people being poor. And you know what? Benjamin Franklin, frankly, is a bit of a sketchy character, anywho, at this point, if you're serious about liberty. He's more on the side of the psyop that enabled the Constitution. Oh, but he helped us get a Bill of Rights. That worked out, didn't it? That really worked out, right? The Bill of Rights, that was a success. And if you're sensing sarcasm in my voice, I hope you are. That means that you're not totally brain dead. It's too easy to be homeless. You know it was too easy? It was too easy for me to document with a camera last summer the city of Seattle enabling Antifa and communists and BLM freaks to occupy land in Seattle. That was too easy. It was too easy for the city of Seattle government to fund commies right next to people who were paying property taxes on condos worth $500,000. That was too easy. It was too easy when the Seattle Police Department shut down Antifa last summer to do a cleanup job. And for those of you involved in wet work or mechanic work or know anything about assassination, here's the deal. When I say cleanup job, that's what I mean. It was too easy for a bunch of homeless people to probably get killed and raped in Chastropia last summer and then to have those bodies just taken someplace. That was too easy. That was too easy. So again, I have to ask the question, why do you think it's so easy to be homeless? I almost ended up there, so that guy on Twitter, who I followed before, and clearly, if he's real, must have read one or two of my tweets, clearly must have understood my view on this issue. If you want to know what produces homelessness, it's the same thing that produces the poison in the Duwamish River. It's too much government. And ask yourself the question, what's too much government, Dan? Any more than zero. That's what's causing the problem. It's the Keynesian economics. It is the sideways, lopsided, house-flipping, bogus economy, none of which would exist if we were really in free enterprise. There would be nobody funding this ridiculous Ponzi scheme in an actual free enterprise economy. But in this Federal Reserve-enabled neo-Stalinist Death Star economy, why not? Because it's too easy. Next topic. I told you it would make me angry. I can even hear the dogs upstairs barking because I got so angry. This is bad. I made the dogs angry, probably. My own energy, you know, seeped upstairs as if heat was rising. And that dark, negative energy of being angry about how easy it is to be homeless. It's so easy. It's too easy. Next topic. Government is forever. Okay, so another fun subject involving trolls, and trolls are those people you run into on social media that might not even be people. In a lot of cases, they might just be scripted bots. But and when I say bot, I mean robot, or if you want to, think algorithm, AI, computer, program, software. There's a lot of software people interact with on social media, and sometimes people think it's real people. It's just software. But every once in a while, I'll get an anarchist who follows me, and then they'll start saying, but Dan, nothing can stop government. And I'll say, well, wait a minute, buddy. You said you're an anarchist. Oh, yeah, I'm an anarchist. But you do realize that foundational to our belief system, foundational to the belief system of Austrians, foundational to the belief system of a lot of libertarians, so Austrian economists, libertarians, anarchists, foundational, something that we all have kind of in common, is this general notion that there is nothing successful net-net about the government strategy except for theft. Like, if you think that civilization is about ripping each other off, then probably you love government because you love ripping people off or taking advantage of other people being ripped off. Kind of like when the United States invades a country and says, that's our oil. That's called ripping people off. And boy, is that too easy, Mr. Easy to be homeless. Very easy to be homeless, Dan. It's so easy. It's too easy for us to go around the world stealing people's crap. I would say that's too... Well, it's getting harder though, isn't it, brothers and sisters? No, every once in a while I'll run into an anarchist or a libertarian on Twitter, and they'll say really strange things. Kind of like that dude, Road to Serfdom, who was talking about recalling local officials. But again, the same dude thought the COVID was real. So you kind of have to take every Bigfoot thought with a grain of salt, right? But no, every once in a while I'll run into a libertarian or an anarchist. And they'll say something like, Dan, government will always be there. We can't do anything about it. And we're doomed, and the super government's coming, and everyone's going to get poisoned with the vaccine. And if this particular anarchist gives you an exit from that hellhole, what they'll say is, but Dan, if you buy the new XRP crypto, if you get in on Ether, are you doing Dogecoin, whatever the heck calls Doge, I don't care. You know, what's funny about these particular anarchist trolls who aren't really anarchists is that they'll give you only one exit, and that is you have to buy crypto. That is incredibly insane and disastrous. And if you follow that advice, you're crazy, okay? it nowhere in food, water, shelter in the near future does crypto fit Mr. and Mrs. It's so easy. It's not that easy. No. You'll find that out. You haven't paid the bill yet, Mr. and Mrs. It's so easy. Okay? You haven't paid the bill yet. You're still sitting at the table talking about how easy it is. The waiter hasn't come by yet. So you really don't know how easy it is, really, do you? But you will. So these anarchists and libertarians will say the government's an unstoppable behemoth that can never be stopped. And I'm thinking to myself, aren't you really saying it's capable of something that your very philosophy denies? That it's capable of being functional? Now, Dan, I mean it steals. I get theft. I get stealing. Okay, when I was a kid, my dad told me about DuPont spinners. And I loved it because I was a kid and I love crazy stories. And when I was a kid, he told me about DuPont spinners. I think I was going up to the woods. He was a logger. I was spending the day with him. I think I might have been 8 or 9. 1978, my dad tells me about DuPont spinners. Yeah, 1978, my dad tells me about DuPont spinners. What is a DuPont spinner? Well, a DuPont spinner is a stick of dynamite. And a spinner is a reference to like a lure, a fishing lure, like a rooster tail spinner if you're fishing, if you're angling for trout. If you're angling for trout with a fishing line and a fishing reel and a fishing rod, you might have attached at the end of it a rooster tail spinner. And that spinner is a lure. It lures fish. A DuPont spinner is a euphemism for a stick of dynamite. So goes the theory, right? You got yourself a pond. In the pond are fish. In the pond are fish. Just light that stick of dynamite and throw it in the pond. And up come a bunch of fish dead. DuPont spinner. DuPont spinner. That's how government operates, guys. They don't really gain any wealth. It'd be like saying, you know, they go around ponds to fish, they use dynamite to fish, they kill all the fish in the pond, and they move to the next pond. Once they're done with a pond, that pond could be dead for a long time. Kind of like the draining of the Aral Sea, okay, which happened under communists. This didn't happen under capitalism. This happened under the Soviet Union, okay? Government operates that way. They can't make anything. They don't produce anything. The only thing the government is capable of doing, and please listen to me, Mr. and Mrs., it's so easy. The only thing government is capable of doing, it's really just two things. Government can steal and government can destroy. Okay? Government can steal your money, your time, your wealth, your youth, your innocence. Government can steal your kids. Government can steal your freedom because it was never theirs in the first place, but they'll tell you it was. So they really can't steal your freedom, but government can try to do a psyop where they convince you they can. Kind of like right now. Yeah. Government can steal and government can destroy. They can destroy your life. They can destroy your home. Ding, ding, ding. Government can destroy your business. Did you live through 2020? Did you see that? Government can steal and government can destroy. There is no physical universe within which that can succeed. So explain to me, Mr. and Mrs. Anarchist, Mr. and Mrs. Libertarian, whoever out there believes government is unstoppable and forever, tell me how that works. How can they steal forever? How can they destroy forever? They can do it for a while, and then something happens and it's in the history books, although governments love to cover this up too, really. Then they collapse. That's what happens. Every cancer, every disease, every parasite that enters your body to kill you has its own destiny ahead. unless it can get out of your body to someplace else, it will also die. The government is a parasite. It will destroy its host, and it also dies. And sometimes I think the host can fight back, and sometimes the host can live in a much worse state, and the parasite can die. But government is just that. It's a parasite. It is not a forever device. It is not a perpetual motion machine. It is not all powerful. It is very much a giant, but it's filled with hot air, or rather moldy, stale air. It is a big, inflatable giant, nasty and cut up on the outside and filled with moldy air on the inside. It wants to convince you it can do anything. Guess what? It can't. It would love to tell you it went to the moon. Huh. You know what Michael Collins' last thoughts were probably? I wonder if people ever get to the moon. Government can fish with dynamite. That's what government's really good at, guys. I'm going to keep it simple. Government is really good, in the proverbial sense, is good at fishing with dynamite. If you give government dynamite, it knows how to fish. But that's not how you fish. That is not even how you interact with the ecosystem. That is not how a free world would work. But in a tyrannical police state, we'll pollute the Duwamish River, but we'll give, you know, the Asian people who fish for crabs their handout saying don't eat the crabs in English. Maybe their language too, unlikely. Yeah, government can do certain kinds of crap. Government can do a lot of things you don't want it to do, and it does none of those very well. And it does things nobody wants it to do, and it does those things even worse. Mr. and Mrs., it's so easy. Next topic. If you're listening on shortwave radio, 5950 kilohertz. If you're listening on shortwave radio, 5950 kilohertz. Then it very well could be sometime between 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and midnight on Saturday or Sunday night, or sometime between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. UTC on Sunday, Monday morning, depending upon how you see time. How you relate to time as a thing, right? But if you are listening, this is WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee. From the great swamp, the giant will arise. And if you are listening on shortwave, the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found at dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/shownotes. And you can listen there. I mean, read there. Read more there. Next topic. Next topic. And before I go into the specifics of this topic, I would like to read an article. This article comes from the Las Vegas Review Journal. And the article was written by Joseph Federman of the Associated Press. So it's originally AP, Joseph Federman or Federman, not sure how to pronounce that. And the title of the article is 45 Dead, 150 Injured in Stampede at Israeli Religious Festival. And I read on. Dateline Jerusalem, April 30th. A stampede at a religious festival. attended by tens of thousands of ultra-Orthodox Jews in northern Israel, killed at least 45 people, and injured about 150 early Friday, medical officials say. Yeah, so anywho, I just hit a paywall on the article. I'll have you guys read more about this yourself. I gotta say, Review Journal, you guys are ridiculous. Now I'm gonna have to like go outside of your, oh, you guys are ridiculous. I just can't, I just hit a paywall while I was reading that article. Let's go to a different source. I wonder if the LA Times is going to give me a paywall. Okay, they're not, good news. So I have to read on from a different source, but actually, yeah, different source. This comes from the Los Angeles Times, no paywall. Headline, Stampede at Israeli Religious Festival Kills at Least 45. This article, without a paywall, is written by Noga Tarnopolsky and Laura King. April the 29th. Huh, but updated April 30th. Okie dokie. Dateline Jerusalem. Israel was plunged into shock and grief. Israel was plunged into shock and grief on Friday as the scope of one of the country's worst civil disasters, catastrophes, became quite clear. At least 45 dead and about 150 injured in a stampede at a religious festival that draws tens of thousands of ultra-Orthodox Jews to a sacred mountain in the country's north. The lethal sequence of events, hold on, just got another paywall. The lethal sequence of events unfolded as celebrants at what is normally a prayerful and joyous rite of spring became trapped in a tunnel-like metal-floored walkway with people falling and crushing one another, according to witness accounts and media reports. As more tried to flee, they were caught up in turn in the chaos of the throng. I love that word, throng. The deadly episode came as the country is emerging from the grip of the monkey herpes pandemic. Thanks to a hugely successful monkey herpes poison drive, and at a sensitive moment, even in Israel's customarily turbulent politics. Well, that monkey herpes. Amid the wave of mourning that swamped the country of almost 9.5 million, questions swiftly emerged, especially over the perils of such an enormous gathering. The role of police. You know what, folks? I'm kind of glad I hit that paywall at the Review Journal because I don't want to read any more of this dreck. We're gonna talk about what the topic is. The topic is the PSYOP again. But I want to think of this in different terms, and then we'll go back to this whole stampede in Israel, because there's a couple ways of looking at the story. One way of looking at the stampede in Israel story is in terms of people going crazy, and I think that might be closer to the truth. Another way to look at this story is like other stories. It might be total BS. This story, listen, in a recent podcast, I talked about psychological operations and how they can be incredibly complex on their foundation, but they usually have simple messages. Like, for example, during the first Gulf War, the simple message was, don't fight, we're gonna drop bombs on you. Don't fight, right? And before I continue this podcast, I'd like to point an interesting thing out. I originally recorded this or started recording this a couple weeks ago, before I went to Vegas. which means 40 minutes ago, plus or minus, I was in Utah, and now I'm back in Utah. How did that happen exactly? Well, I went to Vegas, I collected data about a new project. I'm building a torpedo cannon to launch Elon Musk to Mars. It's going to be a specialized cannon. Anywho, back to the topic, which I began a couple weeks ago. It does seem like there are these features to this psychological warfare operation. One feature is that it's driving people crazy. So the idea that a bunch of people during a religious festival might go crazy is not completely absurd. It's a result of adrenal fatigue and madness. And I would expect a lot more madness until they end the PSYOPs. And I say PSYOPs plural because it's not just one. Of course, the king of battle is the monkey herpes, the COVID. That's the king of battle, as they say in the army. Well, no, the king of battle in the army is artillery. But in this particular PSYOP, the king is the monkey herpes. And it scares the bejesus out of people. It drives people insane. It makes people crazy. But also, like I said, this could also be a completely crap story. Like, it could be completely made up. There might never have been this incident at all. I have no way to verify it. I do know that I put these types of stories into the category stay home. Don't go outside. Don't talk to your friends. Don't go on trips. Stay home. Don't go to the store. You can order from Amazon. Don't go to that cafe that's on its last leg and probably the owner's going to kill themselves. Just go to Amazon. And you can get everything you need from Jeff Bezos. Jeff Beelzebub. Get it from Jeff Beelzebub. Get it from him. Yeah, so I think we are experiencing a lot of manipulation, and a lot of these news stories are just scare stories. I have a news article I'll discuss on an upcoming planetary status report related to this directly. What's interesting, though, is that even though the particular news story, and I'll just give you a hint, discusses the PSYOP, what it also does is points out it was for your own good. And because I don't want to go on a rant about the noble lie, I'll leave it to you to research the concept of the noble lie, my friendly listeners, my friends out there across the universe. Some of you might be listening on shortwave if this particular podcast broadcast ever makes it to shortwave. I still have about 17 minutes worth of work to do. And like the desert wasp, if you interrupt my work before I'm complete, something weird's gonna happen, buddy. Something's gonna happen to you. Something bad. Something bad's happening to you, buddy. Something bad's coming for you. It's the future. It's the future, and it's in red. It looks like a crimson stop sign. It tells you it's over, buddy. Where was I going with that? Next, last topic for the unfinished podcast broadcast that this one is. And it's a funny last topic because originally the title of the last topic was Going to Vegas. But as you well know, between the hither now and the A for whatnot and all the other spans of time, I've been to Vegas in the time that you were listening to this podcast broadcast. Because I decided to travel through time and then finish it and give you the answer. But instead of giving you the answer, I will tell you what happened. In Vegas, I ate the right kinds of foods I was supposed to, but the foods were covered in Brumptus grease. I formed a posse of street raiders and howler fiends. We ravaged Region X of North Vegas. We made busty love to busty maidens of Dauntley Avenue. Our legend was known throughout Vegas, and that time I was there as we ran up and down the streets and we formed the Hooker Republic of Nevada. And then on to Mars, right, Elon? On to Mars and on to victory. On to victory. In Vegas, the seven tribes of Gimbulus met up with me daily. We had breakfast at IHOP. We would eat bacon and talk game theory and design new kinds of space-time trebuchet so we can hurdle entire suns at our enemies. That's what I did in Vegas. Can you imagine a space-time trebuchet that big that could throw suns at your enemies? This can all happen anytime you want it, 24 hours a day in Vegas. In Vegas, we wandered the streets looking for honest men and women, kind of like that weirdo, you know, Diogenes the Cynic. In Vegas, I was wandering the streets looking for honest men and women. And the most honest men and women I met were the homeless people of Vegas. They'd seen the other side. They'd wagered on their own lives. They watched it all fall apart in Vegas. They would think they had the power to take over their own destiny. They believed they had control of the timeline. The house always wins in Vegas. The house always wins, right? Always wins in Vegas. In the sidewalk fancy with Grunkus grease covering everything, I communed with the heart of Vegas. Once I got there, I found the old building where Bugsy Siegel brought forth the demon Cromulus. Yes, long ago in the late 1940s, Bugsy Siegel met an old Navajo shaman named Dejean. Dejean and Bugsy went to the old abandoned Spanish cathedral. They brought forth the various demons that controlled time and space and the odds. They asked that there be blackjack and poker. They asked that there be roulette wheels and slot machines. And that old demon stared at Bugsy and told him, you can have it all. You can have the Blimbus, and you can have the Cromulac. You can have the gold of the old Spanish. And you can discover the truth of how, yes indeed, there were many ancient peoples that had been to Vegas. The Phoenicians arrived in Vegas roughly, I think, about plus or minus 3,000 years ago. They were the first to set up slot machines in Vegas. Their slot machines were janky and broken and made of stone. Then came the Romans, and the Romans had slightly better tech, but not that much better. They focused on card games in Vegas. And of course, you know, chariot races. Those damn Romans. Yeah, only in Vegas, right? That's what I found. If you're listening on shortwave radio, the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found by going to dfgtc.org/shownotes. And those show notes would be available from my website, and you should pick the right date of the broadcast, because if you don't, you'll get the wrong notes, right? If you're listening on shortwave radio out there, this might be 5950 kilohertz. It might be WRMI out of Miami. You might be a ship at sea, traveling the oceans, being wafted about by giant waves, and the only signal you're picking up in the Atlantic as you dodge Nazi submarines is the planetary status report. Yes, as you dodge the wolf packs that seek you out, that seek to plunder you, you listen to this and you understand the truth of it all. You have the message from beyond the veil. You have the torpedo signage of transcendental metathinkery. And with transcendental metathinkery, we can all connect ourselves to Vegas. There is a Vegas in my heart. All of this is Vegas, and all of this is real, and all of this is available for a limited one-time offer. You just have to scrape your mind to find the debris of your own forgotten thinkery. You just have to scrape out your bad ideas and your good ideas and your original ideas and just replace it with dreams of gold, dreams of Vegas. If you can connect to those ancient demons that Bugsy Siegel connected to, maybe you can become a winner too. Do you want to become a winner? Do you want to summon forth the luck of the universe? You can if you open your mind to Vegas-style possibilities. But then you'll find yourself along Sahara, maybe along Desert Inn. Maybe you'll be walking early in the morning on your way to the casino. And you will meet that Navajo shaman, Dejean. Dejean looks into your eyes and says, "I remember seeing you before you were born. I remember when the sky opened up and your soul fell to earth. It found a wet and you know, messy husk, and it got into your body. I remember that, son. I saw you 20-some years ago on your way to the bogus journey for Foreverland. I saw you. You could have followed me up into the mountains. We could have sat in caves. We could have had DMT and ayahuasca, that's the same thing, and mushrooms and cocaine. But instead, you had to find your cigarette dreams and your gold and your whiskey. You had to travel with all those really cool people. Instead, that Navajo shaman looks you in the eyes, and you can smell the whiskey on his breath, and you know for certain, yeah, you've been told. Everything you hoped to find was just a few clicks away. You could have gone online. You could have connected to somebody on Smart Chat or Snapchat or whatever those kids are doing these days, Discord. You could have found yourself a hooker maiden. You could have gone to the mountains. You could have built yourself a home. But instead, you got stuck on your own crap. Instead, you got pulled into the whirlpool of fear. And there's no luck in fear. There's no winning. There's no losing. There's just waiting to die in fear. So that's the message we need to take away from Vegas. Not about demons or Bugsy Siegel or winning big at the crapjack table. All of this is pointless. The message is don't get trapped by fear. The government loves to use fear. It uses fear the way that a gifted young thief uses a knife. And often, you know, successfully. What we're experiencing right now, what we've been experiencing, what we'll probably continue to experience, can be, and excuse my congestion, it's not the monkey herpes, it's just I'd switched from super hot, super dry to slightly not so hot, you know, and a lot less dry. But I'm getting used to it, right? No, we've been going through this. My friends, we've all been going through this process of institutionalized trauma. All of us. Trauma-based mind control. And the only question is, A, when will it end? And B, why did it ever happen in the first place? I don't know the answer to A. I wish I knew the answer to B. The answer to A and B are probably the same answer. I'm certain we're being lied to, but that's pretty much always the case. And I'm certain that this is probably one of the biggest lies in history. I know that sounds outlandish, but as of right now, I would have to say that this is one of the biggest lies in history. If the coming of Jesus Christ was a burst of truth in the world, which is what it was, when Jesus arose, when Jesus came to this planet, when he came to earth from heaven, that was a burst of truth, of honesty, of love. So imagine the opposite of that. Imagine the polar opposite of the message of Christ, and that is what this feels like. So what does that mean? I don't know. But maybe if we all go to Vegas, we'll find the truth there. Once again, if you're listening to this on shortwave radio, this is WRMI out of Miami at 5950 kilohertz on either Saturday or Sunday night, depending upon when this recorded podcast plays. And if you want the notes for this podcast broadcast, go to dfgtc.org/show notes. But remember, pick the right day. If you don't know what day it is or what time it is, I can't help you and neither can Flavor Flav. If you're out there, my friend, if you're out there someplace at sea dodging Nazi submarines, if you're traveling in space near the planet Mars, if you're out there looking for space gold and space hookers and space cocaine, you know one thing's always true. Your luck can change. But only if you let it, only if you change your stinking mind. Why don't you try to time travel your way to that, my friends, and have a good one.